Hare Krishna. Well, welcome everyone who's listening in or listening to today's Tuesday Srimad Bhagavatam class. Radha Kala Chanji Dham, Shishi Radha Kala Chanji Ki Jai. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Nandana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Nandana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Jaya Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Nandana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Nandana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jaya Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya Jaya, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jaya Jaya, Prabhupada Jaya Jaya, Guru Re, Guru Re, Guru Re, Jaya Jaya, Guru Re, Guru Re. Jai Gaura Premanandi. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 16, Text Number 33. Vishva Vashu Purva Gurvachitir. Gandhara Parsarasam. Gandharva Pasarasam. Aham Budharanam. Aham Staryam. Gandamatram. Aham Bhuvaha. Excuse me. Vishvasvasur Purvachitir. Vishvasasu Purvachitir. Gandhara Parashasam Aham. Gandhara Parasham Aham. Budharanam aham staryam. Budharanam aham staryam. Gandamatram aham buvaha. Gandamatram aham buvaha. Vishvasasur purvachitir. Gandhara Pasarasam Aham. Budharanam Aham Staryam. Gandhamatram Aham Bhuvaha. Vishvasasu Purvachitir. Gandharva Parashamaham. Budharanam aham staryam. Gandhamatram aham bhuvaha. Sam, you want to try? Vishvasvasu purvachitir. Gandharva Parasham Samaham. Pudaranam aham staryam. Gandhamatram aham bhuvaha. Very nice, thank you, Sam. Vishvasasu. Vishvavasu. Purvachita. Purvachiti. Gandharva Apsarasam. Among the Gandharvas and Apsaras. Aham. I am. Budharanam. Of the mountains. Aham. I am. Staryam. The steadiness. Gandhamatram. The perception of aroma. Aham, I am. Bhuvaha, of the earth. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Among the Gandharvas, I am Vishvavasu, and I am Purvachiti among the heavenly Apsaras. I am the steadiness of mountains and the fragrant aroma of the earth. Please repeat. Among the Gandharvas, I am Vishvavasu. And I am Purvachiti among the heavenly Apsaras. I am the steadiness of mountains and the fragrant aroma of the earth. Among the Gandharvas, I am Vishvavasu, and I am Purvachiti among the heavenly Apsaras. I am the steadiness of mountains and the fragrant aroma of the earth. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 9, Lord Krishna says, Punya Gandha Privyathyam Cha, I am the fragrance of the earth. The original fragrance of the earth is very pleasing and represents Lord Krishna, although unpleasant aromas may be artificially produced. They do not represent the Lord. Om Gyanam Chirandasya Janam Janam Salakaya Chakshu and Melitam Jainatas My Shri Guru Venamaha Shri Chaitanya Vinobisham Shapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam. Excuse me, Dadantida Badantida Vadantikam. Yeah, let's try again. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam, Shapitam Jaina Bhutale, Svayam Rupa Kadama, Dharanti Sva Padantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances under the dust of his lotus feet. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shumati Tamal Krishna Goswami Niti Namini. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shumati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pashkatadi Shatarini. Vanchakalpa Trubhasya Kripa Sinuzevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shirvaita Gadara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Spotless Purana. This is part of the Uddhava Gita. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. Uddhava is asking questions. And this particular section is called the Lord's Opulence. The Lord's Opulence. And it's interesting, earlier in the chapter we hear that Krishna is very pleased that Uddhava has asked to hear about the Lord's opulences. And he said this is exactly the same question that Arjuna raised. So he's very pleased that his devotee, his very special devotee Uddhava, is asking this question. And when I was reading this verse and reading the chapter last night preparing for the class, it really dawned on me how much Krishna tells us about himself and how Krishna makes it very clear who he is, what he is, how powerful he is, how he appears in minute detail. A lot of different folks believe different things. They might say Lord Shiva is God, or somebody else is God, some demigod is God, or God is just oneness, absolute emptiness, or some Mayavadi nonsense. But it's so clear from the Srimad Bhagavatam and from other scriptures, because Krishna just makes it so clear. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He goes into minute detail about how his qualities as Bhagavan, as the Supreme Absolute Person, with unlimited qualities, unlimited transcendental qualities, are reflected in the material world. Krishna is a fish. Krishna is the shark. He's other things. It's described in great detail. Amongst jewels, I'm the ruby. Of beautiful things, I'm the lotus cup. Of types of grass, I'm kusha. And of oblations of oblations in the fire, I'm ghee. And other ingredients obtained from the cow. The whole chapter is about this, and it's really amazing. And at one point, Krishna says, indeed, Uddhava represents me among the devotees. So he's speaking to Uddhava, but Uddhava represents Krishna amongst all the devotees. Krishna, Uddhava is Krishna. So it's hard to understand. We don't tell this to somebody the first day they're here, right? We start out with simple concepts. Because this is the ultimate concept that this movement has to offer the world. It's achintya beta beta tattva, simultaneous separateness and oneness. Krishna is everything. He created everything. But he's not everything the same way he's Bhagavan, the same way he's the supreme absolute truth, the same way he's the supreme creator and controller of everything. But nevertheless, Krishna is us. We are not Krishna. We are like Krishna, of course, in quality, because we're spiritual, but we're very minute in quantity. So We're hearing in this verse that Krishna is describing among the Gandharvas, I am Vishvavasu. I was going to look up who was Vishvavasu, but I didn't have time. Do you know Narada or Rasaraj Prabhus? Vishvavasu. Amongst the Gandharvas. He's king of the Gandharvas. Yeah, earlier or later, Krishna says, I'm the king. Krishna is the king. You know, he's the king of everyone. And I want to say amongst living entities, he's the king. It says something to that effect. But yeah, if that's the case, then Vishvavasu is the king of the Gandharvas. And of course, they're heavenly beings, right? And they live in heaven, and they have very exceptional sense gratification. It's very subtle. It's very enjoyable. It is very cultured, right? It's not base and degraded the way it is here on this earth planet. They're very fine. It's a very fine affair, very fine atmosphere and beautiful. And it's not full of the grossness of sense gratification in this material world. So they're very much attached to it. And the Gandharvas are enjoying the Apsaras, right? Who are the Apsaras? Do you want to make a... Maybe we should just let Sam sleep through this part. Otherwise, he gets a little... He loves Mohini Murti incarnation of Krishna, right? Krishna appearing as the most beautiful woman. So I thought he might like to hear this part about the Apsaras. Of Apsaras, Krishna is Purvachiti. I didn't look her up either, but we can just imagine how beautiful Mother Purvachiti must be, right? So the Apsaras are the beautiful heavenly society girls, and they're there for enjoyment of the heavenly area. And so Krishna is not indicating he's a gross enjoyer by saying these things. He's just indicating that of all great and wonderful and incredible things in this world, in this material world, they come from Krishna. All of the power, all of the understanding, all of the actions that we do, devotional service, even the devotional service we as devotees do is Krishna. It's actually Krishna. And so nothing can happen without his sanction, without his control, without his energies. And he's divided his energies into to multiple variegated energies that do all kinds of different things. And so Krishna sometimes takes the opportunity to explain. Excuse me. So we have to try to understand in the right way. Krishna is indicating how amongst the topmost of all things in the material world, he is that. He is the power behind that. He is what makes it the greatest. So Purvachiti amongst the Apsaras must be the most beautiful, must be the best Apsara. Amongst the Gandharvas, Vishvavasu is the king. He must be the best Gandharva. And Krishna says, I am the steadiness of mountains. The steadiness of mountains. Mountains are pretty steady, right? They're not going anywhere. They are very solid. Even when little tiny people get in big giant earth movers, they can destroy a whole mountain, right? They're doing this in the Appalachia. You know, they go at the top of the mountain and they just they carve it out and they destroy it and take it to the bottom to take out coal, right? It's coal mining. And so they're destroying whole mountains, but it takes a long time. And it's actually not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of effort, so that they can burn this coal and, have cheap energy to fund their, to power their sense gratification, right? The society, our whole society is based on sense gratification. It's based on, cheap enjoyment, and the cheaper the enjoyment, the better. So we're mortgaging the future of the planet by burning these fossil fuels, right? It's going to imbalance the planet. So much oil is being taken out. Mountains are being destroyed. The natural balance of things is going to become unhinged. And we know this from the pastime of Lord Varaha Dev, right? Hiranyaksha was able to imbalance the earth and knock it down into the causal ocean. And who had to appear? Lord Varahadev, Krishna, as Bor, Lord Bor. And so he roots down and he brings up the earth and saves the earth planet, right? And then kills the demon Hiranyaksha, the brother of Hiranyakashipu. Such an amazing pastime. And so we know Krishna's protecting us. We know Krishna's having pastimes. We know Krishna appears in his incarnations in this world, in the material world. Krishna does not just leave it. And people say this is myth. These are just stories. You know, this could never happen. Well, no one could write this story. No one could make this up. It's too amazing. And we know that fact, that fiction is nothing compared to the real facts, compared to the real history, compared to what really happens in the material world. Just in a week of comings and goings of human beings, it's way more amazing than anything anybody can write. So we know that for people to say, well, Homer, the Iliad, and the Odyssey is just mythology. They're saying that is propaganda. It's propaganda of school children. And they make sure that kids read that early, right? I know I did when I was in school. We read the Iliad and the Odyssey. We're told Homer wrote this. This is mythology. It's all made up. Well, it sounds pretty real, you know. It sounds like real things that happen to real people, right? And it is, because it was real, and the demigods were here at that time. Zeus and Amageddon, Odysseus and all these different people, Agamemnon, they were warriors, and they existed and were interacting with demigods in a previous age. And it's very clear. And so histories, these pastimes are so amazing. It's so nice for us as devotees to have the real story, isn't it? You know, all our lives we grow up and we're told all this nonsense things, and it's no wonder everybody's confused and searching and going in for all kind of isms and, you know, becoming attracted to different religious views. It's seeking, right? People are seeking out, and when they're really fortunate, like us, we meet a devotee, we meet a follower of Srila Prabhupada, we meet a disciple, a grand disciple, we get a book, we read Prabhupada's, we hear Prabhupada's words, we learn from the mouths of other devotees, we take initiation, and we're so fortunate that we get this knowledge, real knowledge, of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And so, Krishna is the steadiness of mountains. If you think of something that's just really steady, just immovable force, Krishna says in another part of this chapter, he's the Himalayas, and they're described as, I can't remember exactly, not an immovable force. I know it's that way in the Bhagavad Gita, but they're described in a slightly different way. It's very amazing. But it's coming up, or we just heard it. You can read it. I recommend reading it. It's an amazing chapter. And so Krishna is the steadiness of mountains. Mountains, very steady, right? They're not going anywhere. He's also, Krishna says at the end of this verse, he is the fragrant aroma of the earth. The earth has a beautiful aroma, and all fragrances come from the earth, right? All fragrance has its source in the earth, and it comes up through the earth, through the form of flowers, trees, plants, vegetation. Excuse me. And this beautiful scent of the earth, when it's not being polluted, when it's not being overwhelmed with human activity, which is of a demoniac nature. Right now, the demoniac activities of the human beings are causing massive destruction of the earth. The oceans are becoming polluted. The living entities in the oceans are dying. The temperature's rising. The chemicals are increasing. The toxicity levels are becoming such that it can't sustain certain species of life. Well, what does that mean? It means pretty soon there's not going to be anything living in the oceans that won't be able to sustain life. And this is Kali Yuga. It's not something that's said out of a sense of dread and doom, gloom and gloominess, like, oh, we can change it. Actually, it doesn't get changed. it is Kali Yuga, it is going to happen, because Kali Yuga is the dark age. But we know that there will be some breaks put on that, that it doesn't happen right away, because we're in the middle of, we're beginning the golden age of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For 10,000 years, the full effects of Kali are not going to be felt. So the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chanting Hare Krishna, living lives as devotees, performing devotional service, and giving Krishna consciousness to others. That is the Yuga Dharma of this age, and we have to do that now in order to perfect ourselves and to give the mercy to others. Krishna becomes very pleased when he sees a devotee trying to help others to understand who he is and to receive the mercy of the Sankirtan movement, which has broke open the storehouse of love of God. Such an amazing thing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda Prabhu are freely distributing this love of God, special love of God of the Brij Vasis, that the Vrindavan Vasis have for Krishna. And the only price to receive it is an intense desire to have it. How do we develop that desire, intense desire to have Krishna consciousness, Krishna's love? Love for Krishna. Well, we have to give it to others. And if we do that, we get it. You give it to others and you get it. But let's go back to the fragrance of the earth. In the purport, the devotees who have translated this and written these purports based on the Acharyas, previous Acharyas purports, they have mentioned Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 9. So let's read that. Text 9. Punyo gandaha pravityam cha tejas chasmi vibhasa vibhasvasu jivanam sarvabhuteshu tapas chasmi tapas vishu. Translation: I am the original fragrance of the earth, and I am the heat in fire. I am the life of all that lives, and I am the penances of all aesthetics. Wow, penances of all aesthetics, the life of all that lives. That's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? We know that mountains are alive. Many mountains are living beings. And so life is there in ways we don't even understand sometimes. So we can't just... but still, it's a marvel, all the things that are living on the planet, plant life, animal life, human beings, and Krishna is the life of those lives, because he is our very soul. He's a creator. He's created us. We're eternal like he is, and by a mystic, amazing circumstance, he's created the material world. He is the entirety of the material worlds, the entirety of the material energy. And all of that is just a teeny tiny fraction of his potency and power. Krishna is massively, massively more powerful than all the combined universes. They make up only 25% of the whole entire spiritual world, which is unlimited and huge. The scientists of this tiny little universe, they can't even understand how big this universe is. They can't understand how it began. They debate. They say it's a big bang. Now they say it's a slow bang. Now they say it's expanding. Now they say it's contracting, and they don't know. It's so big and it's so elusive. They can't even understand this material universe with their tiny eyes. The only way to understand Krishna and Krishna's energy fully and completely is to be Krishna's devotee, to pursue bhakti yoga, to pursue the yoga of devotion, devotional love for Krishna. And that is what the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us, the actual way to understand Krishna. And so all these scientists, all these people looking into microscopes and looking into telescopes and going on journeys into space and looking through telescopes there, and they're seeing things that are billions and billions of light years away, and they're from the very beginning and dawn of the universe, because it takes light so long to travel from the distances of the universe. And so just amazing to think how big this universe is. And we know it's only it's not a very big universe, because when Lord Brahma, he goes to visit Lord Vishnu, he's brought in, they say, well, which Lord Brahma are you? He says, well, I'm Lord Brahma. Is there more than one? I said, come on in and see. There's Lord Brahmas with 10 heads, 20 heads, 200 heads, thousands of heads, and even millions of heads, million-headed Brahma. Our Lord Brahma is four-headed. So in corresponding to the size of his heads, that's the size of the universe. So you can just imagine how big a million-headed Brahma, how big that universe is, and how confounding it must be to the residents, the tiny-brained residents of that universe. And so really that's what we are. We're tiny-brained speculators until we become benedicted to meet the devotees and to follow these teachings and to read Bhagavad Gita as it is, not as some author thinks it is, or with flowery language, or a political bent, or a philosophical agenda. No, Bhagavad Gita as Krishna spoke it, as it is, explained by someone who understands it, because that person understands Krishna and Krishna's energies and Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada is such a person. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We cannot understand these topics without the assistance of advanced devotees who have understood them from the previous acharyas and their spiritual masters and the devotees that came before them. And Prabhupada made that very clear. Prabhupada understood these things deeply. He had a deep relationship with Krishna, but he never stopped giving credit to the previous acharyas, to his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada said, if I've done anything right, is that I've followed the order of my spiritual master. I haven't changed anything. I've given what I learned from him, and he has helped me, and now I'm helping you. And so come forward and take this knowledge and learn it and discuss it and read it and talk about it and chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The divine chanting for deliverance. Who are we going to deliver? Ourselves, number one. Our family members, our loved ones, our friends, the people we know are going to be benedicted. We're going to, if we can convince others to do this too, we're going to save the whole world. And Krishna says this is going to happen. And Srila Prabhupada tells us it's not a question of when or if this will happen. The world will be saved by this Sankirtan movement. The only question is, who will get credit for having spread this movement, for following strictly, for chanting their rounds, and for understanding Krishna the way Krishna wants us to understand him in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement? It's not a matter of going outside the movement. We don't read other books. We read the books that Prabhupada gave us, that the devotees who are in line with Prabhupada give us, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. There's some beautiful biographies of Prabhupada out right now. The book Chasing Rhinos by Shama Sundar Prabhu. It's just an amazing book. So brilliant, beautiful to have that time to go back and feel the energy and atmosphere and hearing his pastimes with Srila Prabhupada. And you get Prabhupada's pastimes, and you get the devotees' pastimes, and you get the deities' pastimes of the early movement. San Francisco, Los Angeles, London, India. And so it's so exciting to read these things and to feel Prabhupada's the flair and the atmosphere and the taste of Prabhupada at that time. You get that taste of Srila Prabhupada by focusing on the disciples of Prabhupada who love Prabhupada, who are affected by Prabhupada. Because we're affected by Prabhupada now. We're all grand disciples. Some are disciples. And so we are being affected by Prabhupada right now. We can taste and feel and palatably understand his mercy in our lives and the mercy of our spiritual masters, the Shiksha Guru, the Diksha Guru. We have both. We have the initiating spiritual master. We have the instructing spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru of this movement. He's an instructing spiritual master. We have many instructing spiritual masters. And we're so fortunate to have it. We don't need to go outside this movement. We don't need to read other books. We read the books of the devotees of this movement and the acharyas of this movement and the followers of Srila Prabhupada. So we're very fortunate to have these books to study and to study again and read again and again and again and again. Krishna is the fragrance, the original fragrance of the earth. And even if the fragrance of the earth is artificially changed or becomes unpleasant, the devotees who wrote the purport, they make it clear that that doesn't represent Krishna. Krishna is the original fragrance of the earth, which is very, very beautiful. Everything in the material world has a certain flavor or fragrance. This is quoting Srila Prabhupada from the purport of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 9. Everything in the material world has a certain flavor or fragrance, as the flavor and fragrance in a flower, or in the earth, in water, in fire, in air, etc., etc. The uncontaminated flavor, the original flavor, which permeates everything, is Krishna. Krishna. Krishna is the original flavor, uncontaminated flavor, permeating everything. Similarly, everything has a particular original taste, and this taste can be changed by the mixture of chemicals. So everything original has some smell, some fragrance, some taste. That was Srila Prabhupada speaking in the purport. So it's so wonderful to hear Prabhupada speaking, to hear his disciples speaking, the purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, the preacher's canto, right? So many nice things in here to help us with preaching, to help us to understand these topics ourselves, to understand these things ourselves deeply and committedly so that we can explain them nicely to others. And the more that we try to use the language that Srila Prabhupada used, that his disciples used, that the Bhagavatam, to quote Bhagavatam, to quote scripture exactly, the better and more effective it is. Certainly we have to give this in our own language. We have to explain things in our own way as best we can. But it's important that we explain things. We begin with the source. We begin with the actual Bhagavad Gita, the verse, the text, the Sanskrit, if possible, and showing people this is the Sanskrit. Look at this beautiful Devanagari script. It's just beautiful to look at. Then here's the English translation, the translation into English that we can pronounce. And then here is the translation into the English that the words we understand. It's so amazing Prabhupada gave us this. He was so intelligent, and he knew what we needed in this age. He knew that people will be attracted to different aspects and different approaches to Krishna, to God, and some people are attracted to Sanskrit. But what for? So they can understand ancient scriptures. But without the purpose of understanding Krishna, they don't know that yet. They just think there's lots of really cool things to learn in Sanskrit and different old ancient texts to read from and add to their misguided view of the world. But it's actually all scripture, all Vedas, all of the everything is out there to direct us to Krishna, to direct us to the correct understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we are His servants, His loving servants, and that we're eternal, we're spiritual. We're not meant to rot, to constantly have to be born, live, and die in this crummy material world. No, we're meant to get out of this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. But along the way, we're going to take a lot of folks with us. We're going to try to anyway. We're going to try to save this planet, save the earth, become guru, and save this land. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to all devotees. Become guru. It doesn't mean everyone becomes Diksha guru, no. But everyone must be Shiksha guru, and everyone knows other people that they can be guru to. Everyone has that opportunity. Krishna makes the arrangement. Guru makes the arrangement. The acharyas make the arrangement for us to preach, and they put us in situations that we can give Krishna to others. If we're not doing that, we're wasting our time. We're just taking the slow boat to China. that could be a very long trip, right? The slow boat. If you're in San Francisco and you're going to China and you're on the slow boat, you've got a long way to go. And you've got some very perilous journey ahead of you because you're looking at the Pacific Ocean. And it's a pretty massive body of water. And Christian says of bodies of water, I am the oceans of solid, immovable forces, something to that effect. Christian says, I'm the oceans. You know, they're not going anywhere. They're massive, you know. And it's just unbelievable how big the oceans are. And, you know, we don't want to cross the ocean in a boat, in a slow boat. We can get on the jet plane with Srila Prabhupada and the other devotees and fly the first 747 over the ocean, where they went Atlantic route or Pacific route, I'm not sure, probably Atlantic route. They flew 747 to the devotees in 1972 or 3, big group of Sankirtan devotees traveling, Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtan party, 80-90% devotees on the first 747 to fly into Calcutta airport. I think they had to extend the runway. They weren't even quite positive if the jet would land in that area. They were concerned it could stop in time. And of course it did. The devotees were on it. When the devotees were flying, they were doing kirtan in the aisles. They were having morning program and Bhagavatam lectures and full-on kirtans. And the pilots radioed back to the flight attendants, this jumping up and down, it's destabilizing the flight of the aircraft because the devotees were jumping and doing kirtan very enthusiastically. So this is Krishna consciousness. This is showing that everything in the material world comes from Krishna. It's all a tiny, tiny, everything wonderful. Air flight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a tiny spark of Krishna's opulence, of Krishna's power, unlimited power. Krishna, it says in this chapter, Krishna says he could count every atom in this universe. It would take a little time. Krishna could do that. He could tell us how many atoms are in this universe. Every single particle he could do. He says, but Krishna cannot. He cannot even estimate the limits of his qualities, of his power, of his personal, of quality, of Krishna's personal, transcendental qualities cannot be, quantified. Even Krishna can't tell you. Even Krishna is amazed at his own energy, which is always expanding. Krishna's power is always expanding. It's never limited. It never gets to the edge of everything and then stops. It doesn't. So that means the spiritual world is unlimited. It never stops. Even Krishna is amazed that his energy is doing this. So, and he is the energy. Krishna is the energy. So understanding Krishna and his energies, Krishna being one and separate at the same time, achintya bheda bheda tattva. And this is a point that was driven home by His Grace Mukunda Dada Prabhu when he was here in his lectures, that this is really what sets us apart, sets this movement apart. And it's really the thing that's lacking in all other religions. They don't understand, you know, is Jesus God? Yes. Is he a man? Yes. Is he from heaven? Yes. Is he from earth? Yes. They can't make sense of it. So a lot of people say, well, Jesus is God. Well, what about God the Father? Well, they can't explain it. They don't understand it. You know, he's not. Jesus is not God the Father. But he's God. He's a specially empowered soul, a Shaktivesha avatar. He is God. Practically, he's God for purposes of preaching. Same with Srila Prabhupada. When you preach Krishna consciousness, you're actually acting as God for people that you meet. But you're not God at the same time. But you're empowered to do all the things that God can do. But he says, no, I want you to do it. I want you to be glorified. I want you to take the credit. I want you to bring these souls back to me. And so Prabhupada told the devotees that when he was his first disciples, when he initiated them. And they were flabbergasted. He said, you agree to take the spiritual master as good as God. As God. And so some had a problem with that. Wait a minute, you know. It was Prabhupada introducing achintya bheda bheda tattva, simultaneously oneness and separateness. How can Krishna do this? He does. We can't understand it with our tiny brains because we're in the material world. It's Kali Yuga. We can only understand so much with our brains, with our current brain power. How do we increase our brain power to understand Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva? Yes, it can be understood. Read, chant, follow, honor prasadam, associate with devotees, preach this Krishna consciousness movement, and Krishna reveals everything. Everything is revealed to the devotee who's following strictly under the guidance of his or her spiritual master. That person that's giving them the disciplic succession, the plugging us into. And so we know if we're plugged in, we have a bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. We have... The hard part is over. Well, not really. It seems I think the harder part is surrendering. But really, truly, the hard part was meeting the devotees. But now we've met them. Many have become initiated. So let's not wait. You know, let's not keep waiting. We don't want to slow boat. We don't want to keep wasting time with sense enjoyment, with isms, with politics. Playing the game of criticizing devotees, it's just not going to get you anywhere. It's not pleasing to Krishna or the Acharyas. And no matter what devotees are going through, we should see them as beautiful, wonderful, bright, shining moons. Moons, beautiful moons. Of course, on the moon, there's a few pock marks. There's some craters. But it doesn't take away from the beauty of the moon. Now, we could sit there and criticize the pock marks and say that's what the moon is, but it's not. It's a beautiful heavenly orb, you know, heavenly planet. And so it is beautiful and should be described as such. And the devotees are the same way. All of the devotees, even if devotees are making mistakes. And this was true even of Shamashundar Prabhu himself. He doesn't mention this in the book yet. It's coming up. But, there were times that he struggled in his Krishna consciousness. And he was in positions of authority. And others criticized and said, he should not be in this position. He should not do it. Prabhupada cut them short. Said, no, he is a wonderful devotee and disciple, and we should not see the faults in the devotees. We should see that even if they make mistakes, they will get rectified. And this is especially true of our leadership. We shouldn't criticize the GBC or criticize our leaders. Okay, they make mistakes. It does happen. You know, it is going to happen. But that is the process of Krishna consciousness. They are going to be rectified. Those problems, those errors will be rectified by other devotees with the assistance of Krishna in that same devotee's heart. Krishna will help that person. And Krishna tells us in the Gita, it's supposed to be this way. We're supposed to make mistakes. It's going to be that we make mistakes, lots of mistakes. And that's how we become rectified. That's how we become fixed up. That's how we become fixed. You know, when we're broken and we don't know what's the right thing to do and we're making a mistake. No, Krishna, it's revealed to the world. And then the devotees can say, other devotees, in a loving way, here's how you repair this. Here's how you're wrong. And isn't this the way of all our lives? Aren't we all feeling this? That this is how Krishna does things. I do things right. I do things wrong. I learn from both. But mostly I learn the most from my errors. We learn the most from our mistakes. And our biggest mistakes are the cornerstones of our success later on. Because we overcome so many anartas, so many misconceptions, so many aspects of things that we don't understand properly. And so we do things wrong, and devotees correct us, or the circumstances correct us, or the Bhagavatam corrects us, or the Gita corrects us, or chanting our rounds helps to correct us. And we realize, oh, I've been doing this wrong. Oh, I had the wrong motivation for this. Now I can see because I made a mistake. And luckily the devotees are very kind and they're very forgiving. Devotee means forgiving. It means empathy. It means sympathy. The devotee means mercy. They just give mercy. They're very merciful. And so forgiveness is there. Even if you're not so contrite, devotees forgive because they know this person still has something to learn. There's still something to learn. And eventually they will. So we have to work on our false egos, you know. We have to understand how Krishna does things for us and not ask Krishna for material things, but to be satisfied with what Krishna sends, right? And that's a tricky thing sometimes. It's very tricky. It's difficult because we're still wrapped up in so many desires and the things that we think we need. And we think we're very, very intelligent and very, very reasonable. Well, I'm just asking for this. It's very reasonable, isn't it? It's just this. You know, wait a minute, though. Why are you asking for this? What are you already getting? What have you already received from Krishna? Isn't it enough? Is it enough? Can you do with what you have? Do you really need to win the lottery? This is very, no, we don't need to win the lottery. Krishna wants us to go through life struggling. And for some devotees, they don't struggle with money. Others do. And that's just the way it's going to be. But to take the struggle out of it is artificial. And we shouldn't be lured into this idea of, you know, the advertising, all these lottery signs. Oh, I'll give the money to Krishna. Yeah, right. After I get my cut, you know, even if you say, Krishna, I'll give you 90%, even if I give 99% of my winnings, well, it's still gambling, and Krishna's not going to let you win, because even that 1% that you keep is going to ruin you, it's going to destroy you. And so Krishna is careful. He knows that we've been calling out to him by chanting and by doing devotional service. Is he going to give us something that pulls us away? Is he going to give us the thing we think we need? No. Sometimes he does. Krishna will give us what we want, but in such a way that we'll never want it again. But a lot of things, we should be smart enough to own. We don't need that. We don't need that now. We need to rely on what Krishna sends and work and do honestly what we have to do, which is our duty, our dharma, right? If you do that, Krishna takes care of everything. Krishna absolutely takes care of everything. We see it amongst the devotees. We know it in our own lives. So let's just admit it and stop pining away for the sense gratificatory things that money buys. They won't make us happy. It will not make us happy. There was been a rash of suicides amongst lead singers in rock and roll bands, or especially somewhat newer bands. And these guys are in their 40s and 30s and they're killing themselves. Because they've enjoyed sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and they're not happy. They're intensely unhappy. Even they have families and nice wives and nice families, and they're on the road. They can't stand it. They kill themselves. You know, two singers, this has happened to recently. So, you know, it's proof. You know, fame and fortune and music, it's not going to make us happy. It's not where real, true happiness lies. And we know that because in trying to listen to music and enjoy music, what kind of music really makes us feel happy? You know, for me, it's when I heard George Harrison's My Sweet Lord, right? Wow! Hare Krishna chanting in this song. What is so attractive about this song? I couldn't understand it. I knew he was singing about God and, you know, My Sweet Lord, I love you, Lord. And, you know, okay, the Lord part, God part. But what was really attractive of that song was he included the Maha Mantra in a beautiful, brilliant way and compared it to the Alleluia. And so incredible, incredible empowerment that Krishna gave him. And so this is our real attraction. We're really, truly attracted to Krishna and Krishna's music and songs glorifying Krishna and stories about Krishna or glorifying Krishna. They're way more exciting, right? What was Star Wars about? Do you remember, Sam? Did you ever see Star Wars? Star Wars is the girl gets lost, gets kidnapped, and they go back and they fight and they get the girl back. It was based on Ramayan. It was shameless. It was a shameless ripoff of Ramayan, and right down to the little creatures, an army of animals wins the day. So very clear that you know the people in Hollywood who are writing, they're not thinking anything new. Nobody's creative enough to do that. Nobody's creative enough to actually give what to compare to what really happens in the real world, which is Krishna's authorship. Krishna authors all these things. All things happening are actually what Krishna divines, what Krishna has created the pastimes of this planet, the puny things that little people do, the big things that the devotees do, the big, bigger things that Krishna does. So that's actually where real enjoyment is. Real enjoyment lies in those pastimes, the Ramayana and the Mahabharata and the Puranas. The Puranas are really wild. There's some amazing stories in the Puranas. So, you know, if we're inclined towards those kind of stories, okay, read that. Don't waste your time with nonsense, Western, Eastern, you know, material, mundane movies, stories. You know, how many superhero movies are they going to make? You know, I don't go watch these things, but it's unbelievable. You know, every year it's 10 or 20. How can it be? You know, it's just like, and it is just mundane, so mundane. So, I guess I got a little off track. It's 8:30, so it's time to say Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to this incredible, incredible Srimad Bhagavatam, which is giving light in this dark age of Kali Yuga. So, thank you for listening in. If you were listening online, or on your phone, or on the radio, or if you listen to this after the recording is put online, thank you. Thanks for tuning in. And I hope that I've said something nice. I haven't been offensive or said anything to offend. If I have, please forgive any offenses. And please chant Hare Krishna. And let's pray for each other that we can all go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.